Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Man, Nehemiah, and I want to talk to you tonight. I really want to get to chapter number 3, but I'm not going to make it there tonight. Matter of fact, I didn't even bring my notes with me for chapter number 3 because I knew there's no way I'd get to chapter number 3 tonight. But chapter number 3 of Nehemiah, I read it this week. Matter of fact, this past Sunday night, we had a missionary visiting with us, that missionary made reference to some things in chapter number 3 of Nehemiah. And whenever he did, it just intrigued me. And I went back on Sunday night and actually looked at some of it. And then Monday, I really dug into that and began looking at that. And it is amazing to see the teamwork in chapter number 3 as you go through it and you begin to look unto it. And just take, for instance, chapter 3, verse number 2. I'm just going to show you one little part right here, but we're going to chapter 1. The Bible said this. In verse number 2, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them, you'll find that statement or a reference next to them, under them, beside of them, over 25 times in chapter number 3. And here's what it is showing in chapter number 23. It's showing teamwork in chapter number 23. So I want to start a series tonight on that very thought on teamwork tonight. And we're going to look in chapter number 1. To understand what's going on in chapter number 3. To really chapter number 5, chapter number 6, they finished the wall in 52 days. Well, you know what? That sounds, do we understand the wall that they built in 52 days? So let's look at it a little bit. The Bible said, I'm going to let you remain seated tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 1, verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Haggaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah and one of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that were escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, watch this, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, and observe his commandments. Boy, I love verse number 6. Let thine ear now be attended, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and watch this, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and watch what he says, and my fathers have sinned. Now, Lord, you know the need of the service tonight, and I pray, God, that you'd help us for a little while. I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. God, I pray, Lord, Father, that we would get an understanding from your word tonight. I pray, God, that it just wouldn't be black ink on white pages, but God, I pray that we would allow it to become alive to us and to speak to us. Father, you said in referring to your word, Father, that it's alive. Father, you even talked about the word being you, being made flesh and dwelt among us. So, God, I pray that your word would speak to us tonight, and God, that it would help us. I pray, God, that you'd touch us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look at this tonight, and whenever you come to the book of Nehemiah, I always like trying to find key verses that really stick out to me than studying a book of the Bible. Let me give you two that really sticks out to me in the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 1, verse number 4, says this, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." That's a verse that sticks out to me. He fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now go to chapter number 6 and look in verse number, chapter number 6 and look in verse number 3. The Bible said this, "And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" He said, man, I'm doing something great for God, and why should the work cease? Why should what I'm doing stop while I come down and deal with you? And I don't know what you've done on that one, but it did make a big difference in that roar that I had in it over there. I don't even know if you've done anything. It might have been in my head, but it did make it. Y'all may not be hearing what I'm hearing up there, out there, what I'm hearing up here. But anyway, we'll get there, amen? But here's what I want you to understand. Nehemiah is doing a great work. Nehemiah's prayed, and God's given peace to do what he was going to do. Nehemiah begins to do that work, and whenever he does, opposition comes against him. Anytime you do anything for God, anytime you do anything positive, I think we could talk about this on a spiritual level. I think we could also talk about this on a personal and slash professional level. Anytime we advance and anytime we try to better ourselves, there's always going to be a crowd that comes against us and a crowd that don't like us. Anytime, let's just be real, anytime you get a promotion at work, there's going to be a crowd that comes against you. Anytime that you begin to do something at somebody, there's always going to be that outfit that comes against you. And Nehemiah faced that. But you know what Nehemiah said? I'm doing a good work and I'm not coming down off the wall. I'm just going to keep on serving Jesus. And you know what? Nehemiah done that. In chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that there is a wall that has been destroyed. There's a wall that's been broken down. Now, here's what I found about this wall, and you probably know this if you've studied your Bible long. Here's what I found out about this wall of Jerusalem. This wall was some 2.5 miles long. It was 39 feet high, and it was 8 feet thick. Now you think about that, 39 feet high. The center of this building inside right here at the highest point is 16 feet, and to the peak outside is about 26 feet. So this wall is higher than the tallest point on this building up here. Matter of fact, it's close to being twice as high as the center point on this building. It's 8 feet thick, and it's 2.5 miles long. So what I want you to understand about this wall is this. It's a big old wall. The task of rebuilding this wall was not just some little task that Nehemiah had to do. Man, it was a very large task that God had for Nehemiah to do right here. You know what Nehemiah could have done? And I'll get to where I'm going in just a sec. Nehemiah could have walked away from this and said, you know what, man? There's no way I'm going to do that. It's absolutely impossible to do what you want me to do. But what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah sat down, he wept, he cried, and he prayed, and he fasted before the God of heaven. And you know what ends up happening? Man, God uses Nehemiah, and the impossible is done in 52 days. 52 days, they build this wall back. Let's think about this by way of introduction tonight. Let's think about the condition of Jerusalem. The bad condition of the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day is the bad condition, is a bad condition that is noted here. And think about this with me. I want to explain it the best I can. Those walls was walls of protection for Jerusalem. It was something that was very important to the city of Jerusalem for those walls to be up. Matter of fact, when you study chapter number 3, we'll see see this. I don't know that I'll deal directly with each gate, but you can see there's the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the gates of the foundation. Then there's the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, and the gate Mithkath. Whenever you study those gates out, that's just around these walls, and that was to keep the people safe. Boundaries or walls is for two things tonight. Number one, it's to keep some things in, and number two, it's to keep some things out. And can I say something to you tonight? We need some walls or some boundaries in our life tonight. We need some, God wants us to have some boundaries or some walls in our life tonight. Think about this in Nehemiah's day in these walls. It was a perilous condition. It was a perilous condition. The Bible said this, the walls of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. As I've already stated, in ancient times, the walls around the city were very important protection for the city. So it's a perilous condition, but watch this, it's a prolonged condition. It was a prolonged condition. Whenever you study this out, the Babylonian army destroyed the temple and broke down the walls around 856 B.C. Nehemiah's day is some 150 years later. So the condition of the broken down walls had lasted for a long, long time. Some 150 years, this condition has been prolonging there. It was a prolonged condition and a perilous condition. So Nehemiah, he's got one of two things he can do. He can sit back and go, you know what, there's nothing I can do about it. Or Nehemiah can get down on his knees and pray before the God of heaven and say, God, is there something you want me to do about this? Can I just say this in passing tonight? When we look around in our country today, and even when we look around in our own community today, you know what we find? We find that so many times it seems to be a perilous condition. It seems to be a perilous condition. On Monday evening, I was over in our new county jail that they're in the process of building, and was going through all of it. Brother Jonathan was looking in it, and we was talking about the problem that we have in our county, and everybody knows this, the problem of drugs in our county and how it's running so rampant. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with programs. I understand programs. But let me tell you what the greatest program is. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblems of suffering and shame. Let me tell you what they need more than anything. They need a trip to Calvary and get washed in the blood of Jesus. Does that mean they're never going to mess up? No, they probably will mess up again. But there'll be somebody living inside of them called the Holy Spirit that will draw them back to Him. Somebody give me an amen right there tonight. And when we look at the condition of our country, when we look at the condition of even our own community tonight, I believe that we can say for a prolonged time, it seems that it may be a perilous condition. So what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah prepares his heart and begins to pray to God. You know what? Here's the truth of the matter tonight. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know that not every one of us, matter of fact, none of us within ourselves personally can make it to all the world and preach the gospel. We know according to the Word of God tonight that the preacher is the husband. So therefore, and he goes on to say the husband of one wife, so therefore we know that a lady is not a preacher. Some of you husbands, give me an amen right there. They may do a lot at home, but we know down at the house of God, the lady is not a preacher. And the Bible gives us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he has to have provided a way for us to be able to do that. And I can't go to all the world, but you know what I can do? I can team up up with a mission board and support missionaries and do my part and do that. So Nehemiah sees this, and Nehemiah decides, here's what we've got to do. If we're going to fix the need, Nehemiah is going to incorporate a lot of people in chapter number 2, and we'll get there. Nehemiah says, man, I've got to pray. I've got to pray. You know what I thought about this? We've always been known, ever since I came here, we've been known as a praying church. I don't know how many people says this to me on a regular basis. Hey, preacher, pray for me. Have your church pray for me. We've been known as a praying church. So let me show you two or three things about Nehemiah's prayer tonight. Number one, I want you to see the preparation for the prayer. The preparation for the prayer. Nehemiah, in verse number 4, he makes three different preparations that is recorded for his prayer. Watch this. Number one, his attitude. Watch his attitude. The Bible said this in verse number 4, I sat down. After receiving the very upsetting information about the Jews in Jerusalem, Nehemiah was very upset. So he first sat down. While normally this is not significant, it is here. For sitting down, said Nehemiah, was going to do some pondering on the information that had been brought to him. It was quieting his mind to think. He was quieting his mind to think, which also set him up for a good attitude of praying. His attitude, he sat down. Also, I believe that him sitting down symbolizes a broken heart, which I'm going to lead into. There's some type, matter of fact, in all the classes that I've took in different chaplaincy and stuff, one thing that they taught us, Brother Jonathan, in a death notification was you always ask to come in and you always ask the individual to sit down. And if you're outside, you find a seat, you take them to a vehicle, you always try to get them to sit down, because sometimes things are so overwhelming, it causes us to fall. I've seen people pass out. So you ask them to sit down. And I believe Nehemiah was so at a point of a broken heart that he sat down, his attitude. But watch this in the preparation for his praying. His anguish. Not only the attitude, but note the anguish in this preparation. The Bible said this, that he wept and mourned certain days. In verse number 4, Nehemiah was so upset about the condition of the Jews in Jerusalem that he sorrowed greatly. He was not like those that the prophet Amos indicated when he said this in Amos chapter number 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock, that chant to the sound of the vial, drink wine in bowls, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Can I say this to you tonight? When he saw the condition, man, his attitude, his sit down, but his anguish, he wept and mourned. Can I ask you a question tonight? How long's it been since you wept over a sinner going to hell? How long's it been tonight since you wept over that individual? Hey, it may be a family member, it may be a coworker, but how long has it been since their condition broke our heart to the point of weeping and mourning? He said he wept and mourned certain days, not just a day, but days over this. Why? Because of the condition. Thing about, you said, preacher, how in the world does this tie into teamwork? Well, you're never going to get a team to do what you want them to do unless you have a clear vision and a burden for what you want done. Watch this. His preparation, I see his attitude, his anguish, but note again his abstinence in verse number 4. His abstinence, what did the Bible say? The Bible said this, that he fasted. That he fasted. You know what that means? In other words, that I really believe this, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but I believe this. It was an abstinence or a fasting from food. Now, we know, and again, I've preached on fasting a lot, but we know that fasting can be more than food. It can be numerous different things, but he fasted, his abstinence, the preparation for his prayer. You know, a lot of times when we pray, we just jump into something. We don't really get our mind boy, you know, our mind is crazy. Somebody give me an amen right there. Our mind, matter of fact, and I don't know that he'll preach this, but Brother David Edwards, some of you know Brother David Edwards, he's preached here before, and Brother David has battled depression and different things, and he's actually got a new two-message series that he's preaching on the battlefield of the mind, and he'll be with us towards the end of May preaching a Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I hope the Lord will let him preach it here, but our mind tonight. And sometimes we have to sit down and get our mind cleared out before we can ever even talk to the Lord. Can I just be real honest with you? It's hard for me to do real fervent praying on Sunday nights after church. You say, well, preacher, you ought to be able to pray the most right then. But what a lot of people don't understand is that's when the pastor has spent all a lot of times. All day he's been preaching, he's been studying, he's been preparing for the day. And man, I'm just going to be real honest with you. When I go home on Sunday nights, man, you know what I'm going to eat. And then I'm getting in the recliner. And a lot of times, Brother DC, I may wake up in the recliner on Monday morning or usually about midnight or 1, Leslie will go, I can't sleep, come get in a bed. So I'll go get in the bed. But to really get into that true spirit of praying, he sat down. His attitude, his anguish, man, when he sat down and got his mind cleared out, you know what all he could see? All he could see was the condition of Jerusalem. And he began to fast because he got his mind cleared of where it needed to be. The preparation for the prayer. But watch this, the praise in the prayer. Verse number 5, he picks up with a praise in his prayer. You know, a lot of times this is something we skip. I didn't get not one amen on that. This is something we skip a lot of times. Let me back up and rephrase that. Brother Aaron, this is something I skip a lot of times. You know, a lot of times whenever we go into prayer, we just go right in. Lord, you know Bertha's need, you know Sally's need, and God, you know my need, and God, my need, and God, my need, and God, I need this, and God, now somebody holler amen and help me tonight, and my family needs this, and I need this, and God, I need you to do this. But that's not the way Nehemiah started this thing. It's not the way Nehemiah started. Watch this. In verse number 5, the Bible says this, and I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Watch this. When he begins in verse number 5, there is definitely something that he goes straight to, and he looks at the superiority of God. Know what he says? O Lord God of heaven. Oh, Lord, in other words, he's saying, the one true and living God, the Lord God of heaven, the false God of men's imaginations, were limited in a scope and influence and existence. But you know what he does? He says it's the Lord God of heaven, the great I am, the same one that led Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt's land. Note the way it's spelled, oh, Lord. Lord God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The great I am is who that is referring to. And here's what he's saying. He's saying this, as I begin my prayer, I'm going to begin it in praise to the superiority of God. He is the God of all gods. Can I say this? He is the God, period, and there is no other God. He even said that. And Nehemiah says, you know what? Just before I even ask him for any help, just before I even say anything to him about the condition of my people, I'm just going to take a minute and say, God, I just want to thank you for being God. I just want to, well, I need to teach, but I want to preach. I just want to thank you for being the great I am. I just want to thank you for being there for me. And he takes a minute to praise the superiority of God. But watch this, not only the superiority of God. Man, I've enjoyed studying this week. Watch this. He wants to praise the strength of God. He said it's the God of heaven. He proclaims God as the creator of all of the world right there. He said it's the God of heaven. Hear me and hear me well. There is no other little G-O-D that can proclaim to be the God of heaven, because God's the only one that created the heavens and he created the earth. He praises him for the superiority of God, for the strength of God. But he praises him, watch this, for the sincerity of God. The Bible said this, that keepeth covenant and mercy. He praises him for the sincerity of God. This right here talks about his faithfulness. Nehemiah is saying, Lord, as I begin my prayer, I just want to thank you for being faithful. Time out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's who He is. He is faithful tonight. You know what? Any time I've ever needed Him, He's always been there. Every time I've ever went to Him in prayer, He's never put me on hold. I've never got sent to His voicemail. I was talking to the doctor's office today in Winston about some things, and they were scheduling some tests, and they just went away. It just went away. And I thought, I got plenty of service. I mean, they just left. So you know what I done? I picked up the phone. I had the phone in my hand. I didn't pick it up. I already had it in my hand. And I called the number back, and I had to go through that wait again. And then whenever I got back on the phone, it wasn't with the same person I was on the phone with. And I said, hey, this is Jonathan. And they said, well, Jonathan who? I said, Jonathan Barker. And they said, well, what's your birthday? And I said, man, I just want to get this thing scheduled. I was talking to this person, and I got hung up. And they said, well, she's on the phone with somebody else now. And I said, well, I just want it scheduled. When can we get it scheduled? And they said, well, we're going to have to talk to the scheduling coordinator. Well, who was I talking to? They said press 2 for a schedule. Are you with me? And they said this, I just have to get somebody to call you back. And I said, okay, and y'all probably don't know this about me, but I'm very patient, so I didn't sit there holding the phone waiting on them to call back. I went about my everything. I started to hit 2 again, dial the number back, Brother Brian, and hit 2 again and say, hey, this is John again. Have y'all forgot about me? And somebody else called back, and Brother Stan, I talked to them, and they said, oh, well, you'll have to talk to such and such to make that appointment. And I said, well, I talked to such and such and her friend and now you. And they said, well, somebody will call you back. I wanted to throw the phone out the window at this point. Y'all with me? Finally, that one called back and said, hey, I got some good news. I said, well, praise God. And they said, we've got it all scheduled. Here's the date. Here's the time. And I said, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I said all that to say this. There's never been a time. There's never been a time that I went to God and got hung up on and called back and got Abraham. And Abraham said, well, you know what? You need to talk to Jacob about that. But Jacob's on the other line, so maybe John the Baptist will call you back in a little bit. And Paul called back and said, oh, well, I can't help you. You need to call Jesus for that. And in a little while, God called back. Though every time that I went to Him, every time I cried to Him, every time I expressed my concerns to Him, God has been faithful. In the good times, He's been faithful. In the bad times, He's been faithful. On the mountain, He's been faithful. In the valley, He's been faithful. He is God, and He changes not. And if Nehemiah said that He was a God that kept His covenant and mercy, then He is a God that is faithful tonight. His praise in His prayer. He praised Him for the superiority of God, for the strength of God. I was really just going to talk tonight, Miss Bethany, and she always makes fun of me when I say that. The sincerity of God. But I want you to note this tonight. He even talks about in His praise in this prayer, the stipulations of God. You say, well, preacher, what is that? Well, note what He says. He says this, keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. You see, the promises of God right here is to the child of God. Amen. It's to the child of God. God's wisdom keeps God's blessings from being given to men in a way that will encourage a bad character. Those who do not love God or obey, observe God, will not experience the blessings as those who do love and obey Him. I was at Brother Butch's shop the other day. I know I mentioned him a while ago, but I was at his shop the other day, and we was talking. Well, we may have been out here talking. He's spent a lot of time up here over the past week or two looking at things and just fellowshipping. And he said this, and if you know him, he's got a very scarred past. He was messed up in drugs and alcohol, and even spent some time in jail. And God saved him out of that, and just changed his life, man. And he does a great job working in the jail and even in prisons now, giving his testimony. He said this. He said, you know what? He said, if I could just take what I've got and bottle it up and give them a drink of it, and it lasts 24 hours, after the 24 hours, they would run to an altar. They would get saved. They would give their heart to Christ. Boy, how true that is. God blesses us with some things and some peace that passeth all understandings that the world knows nothing about. So in this prayer, watch this. I got to hurry. It's 7:50. We got time. There's the preparation for the prayer, the praise in the prayer. But there's the perseverance of the prayer. Know what he said in verse number 6. The Bible said this, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, watch this, day and night. The perseverance of his prayer. What was it? It was this. He prayed it continually. He prayed it continually. And I'm not going to preach all of this point, but he prayed that continually. Our problem is this. I didn't say you are, I said our. Our problem is this so many times. We go to the Lord for about 15 minutes in earnest prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That fervent prayer. I mean, we may do that even for 4 or 5 days. But then it seems that we back off. Whenever we get that phone call and everything's going south, then you know what we do, man? We really go before God. We really may even fast and pray before God. But look at what he does. He says that he does this day and night. The perseverance of the prayer. Nehemiah is continually in prayer. Matter of fact, you know what the New Testament verse for that is? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. There's your New Testament verse for Nehemiah chapter number 1, verse number 6, pray without ceasing. I'll give you this in closing. There's the penance in the prayer. You see, he starts out with his preparation, his praise, and his perseverance. But then there's the penance in the prayer in closing. Look what he said. Let's pick back up again in verse number 6. The Bible said, for the children of, he said, that I pray day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. The penance in his prayer, Nehemiah, included the importance of confession in his praying. What did Psalm say? Psalm said this. I think it's Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. In other words, if there's sin in my life, God's not going to hear me talk to him. So he deals with the penance in prayer. Let me give it to you in closing. The depravity in the confession. What does he say? He said, we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. Nehemiah humbly does not exclude himself from being a sinner. And note this, he notes that they have sinned against the Lord. He says, we have sinned against who? We have sinned against thee. He notes that the sinning is against God. What we need to remember is when we're doing wrong, it's not just that we're doing wrong against the church or we're doing wrong against a spouse. We're doing wrong against God. So I see the depravity in the confession. But watch this, the defilement in the confession. He said, we have dealt very corruptly against thee. Sin is defilement. Again, in this aspect, Nehemiah speaks of it as being against God. And then watch this in closing, the disobedience in the confession. Have not kept the commandments which thou commandest. Sin is disobedience to God. The Jews were guilty of disobeying God, which is a serious offense. Disobeying man is not nearly as serious as disobeying God. Now you say, well, preacher, Miss Tina, do you care to come start playing stuff? You say, well, preacher, I thought you were starting a series on teamwork. Well, you know what? To be on the team I'm going to deal with and to have the right team spirit, first thing you got to do is evaluate the situation and take time in prayer with God. When we talk about our church tonight, boy, how good the Lord is to us, amen. We talk about all He's doing and how He's blessing us, and we've done these ministry involvement forms, and Miss Debbie has worked so hard putting all of that into spreadsheets for us. And today I was sitting in the office and I got an email from Miss Debbie, and then I got another email, and then I got another email, and then I got another email, and I got another email, and I got another email, and I thought, Miss Debbie, is she okay? I don't know if it was an SOS or what, man. Bam, 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 bam. And she sent all those spreadsheets. And you look at all of those things, and there's just another instance where there's a place for everybody. There's a place for everybody. I looked through the ministry involved. The first one, the Lord done this, I believe, in all my heart. The very first one, I was sitting in the office the other day, and I thought, man, I really don't have time, Brother Brian, to go through all of these. And Leslie is, and hopefully by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, I've got it, Miss Leslie's got it, but we're going to release it to everybody. We're just making sure everything's done right on it. But the church app, she was working on all of that. All of the schedule will be on that. And it's really going to be nice. But anyway, I thought, so I sat down, I opened the folder, I had them in, and the first one was Miss Debbie Ramey. And I said, Lord, help Miss Debbie. You know, whatever she needs today, you know what she's going through. And that's a good thing to do whenever you think about somebody. Let's take a second and pray for them just a minute. I thought, she's got family like Tim Ramey. God, she needs some help. And I began to look on it, and one of the first things that I noticed was some secretarial work. And I thought, boy, I just closed her right back up. And I said, hey, Miss Leslie, how about you say, I hollered across the hall, Miss Leslie, how about sending a text to Miss Debbie and seeing if she would care to help us put all of this stuff together? You know what she done? She sent her a text. Miss Debbie said, well, I'll try my best to. We met with her last Wednesday. Miss Leslie did and showed her everything. And you know what she did? She just jumped in and done what she could. Just jumped. The team. And watch this. What makes a great team member is this. First and foremost, we understand the importance of prayer. This is a church. Now, if we was in a business, I'd say the same thing. Understand the importance of prayer, because you're going to need to pray for each other. But praying. Nehemiah sets, man, I've preached on this prayer before, but I've never really looked at it as much in depth as I have this week. And he sets it, he lays it out. His preparation, his praise, his perseverance, and his penance. He lays it all out for us tonight. So I want to ask you this question in closing. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How's your attitude in praying? How's your anguish in praying? Are you with me tonight? Our prayer life tonight. Do we want to see, and I remember Brother Robert when, man, we fasted and prayed for God to fill our church. And He did. Are we going to quit fasting and praying for God to fill the church now that He filled that one? And matter of fact, the first Sunday we was in this building, we was full. And in all honesty, if you was to go out there and get over 40 that's out there tonight and bring them in here, we'll be getting pretty close to being full in here tonight. But are we just going to sit back and be satisfied with that? Or are we going to realize there's still a community dying and going to hell? If there's ever been a great day to build a church, it's the greatest day that I've ever known of. It is the greatest day. May we find our place on this wall and on this team. Preacher, how do I find my... Let's pray. God, put me where I need to be. God, I thought about this. I really want to get to chapter number 3. We're going to get there probably next Wednesday night. But when you look in chapter number 3, there was some had a sword in their hand, also had a trowel in their other hand. They was right there in the middle of it. But there are some that you'll find that really, as far as a physical thing, they never done nothing. They never done. And you know what I believe it is? I believe it's showing us that not everybody is physically able, Brother Stan. Brother Stan. I got a little hacking on the end of that, didn't I? Brother Stan. But Brother Stan, they're not physically able. They're not physically. I was talking to Brother Bailey just yesterday, and we're going to do two really nice vinyl fences over the next week or so that kindly hides this section in between. And you know what? There's some even in here tonight. You're not physically able to take a set of post hole diggers and dig a hole. But you know what you are able to do? Lord, my preacher's got a lot on him right now. And Sunday morning, he's going to need the power of God resting on him. Because, Lord, I'm just thanking you for putting some sinners in there that's lost Sunday morning, and he's going to need to preach with the power of God. Everybody has a place. So let's pray and find our place.